Film Nerds Unlimited. Lo-fi movie conversations with high-quality movie connoisseurs. Issue 75. Graham Flanagan of Business Insider. Ben Flanagan of Aspect Radio.
Hey, Graham.
Hey, Ben. How's it going?
Going pretty well. We are knee-deep now in the fall movie season as we transition into winter and this season of must-see movies, according to critics and people who follow this award season narrative and whatnot. But, you know, I don't really care about that as much as I just want to see these movies that everybody's talking about. And one of them is this movie Brooklyn from director John Crowley, whose work has gone largely unknown aside from a movie in the early 2000s called Intermission with Colin Farrell. But I think that you and I are pretty unfamiliar with his work altogether. But this movie Brooklyn has really made an impact on a lot of people. It's showing up on lots of lists at this end of the year season, and it has a 98% on Rotten Tomatoes. And I think it's one that we saw recently, and we went into it knowing very little other than it starred Saoirse Ronan, and she plays a young Irish immigrant who moves to Brooklyn, New York to start a new life. And that's really about it. In terms of what I knew about it going in, other than everybody seems to love this movie. It's one that could get nominated for Oscars. It has a great lead performance from Saoirse Ronan, this young up-and-coming actress whose work I've certainly really liked in movies like Atonement and The Grand Budapest Hotel and Hannah. So she was a major attraction in terms of wanting to see this. But otherwise, I knew nothing. And I went into it, and I love, you know, honestly, knowing as little as possible about movies, and that's so rare these days. I just went in strictly on buzz alone, and I absolutely loved this movie. It really hit me over the head with its optimism and its period detail and the performance that we mentioned, but a bunch of other unsung, really terrific performances too from a really great ensemble, a lot of whose names I honestly don't know or remember right now, and I can't wait to learn more about them, but I just thought it was a really simple and elegant piece of filmmaking and a great story that's based on this book by an Irish writer named Colm Tóibín, I believe is how you say his name. And were you like me? Did this one just kind of catch you off guard?
Well, going into it, I heard so many positive things about it. You highly recommended it to me, you know, last night, and I saw it today, and you know, obviously that spurred me to want to go and see what all the buzz was about, and saw that it had such a high rating on Rotten Tomatoes, and they had gotten some awards consideration in terms of nominees at the Golden Globes and SAG, and then also some Critics Awards where it won some awards. Absolutely. I mean, so I kind of went in with high expectations, and it totally delivered and blew me away. You know, this movie affected me on an emotional level similar to that of Inside Out, honestly, which, you know, that might surprise some people because that movie really, you know, floors you and makes you feel like people are in the theater cutting onions at the time. I have the same jerk who thought it was okay to cut onions in the theater at Inside Out was back in Brooklyn. And it was just a powerful film for so many different reasons. So this is absolutely one of the best things I've seen this year. And you mentioned that optimism and relating to the awards chances after last year where Birdman, you know, was so successful, and Birdman is such a sort of nihilistic, cynical, subversive film. I wonder if a movie like this, which is a classic, kind of a classic style movie, is going to get traction with today's voters in Hollywood, you know, especially the Oscar voters. I think that it'll definitely appeal to the older set, but I think Birdman changed the landscape, but we'll see. I still think that anybody that likes Birdman should like this film. I think it will appeal to everyone across, you know, from the art house audiences to the mainstream. This is just a film that has appeal to everyone, you know, to people that watch Downton Abbey on Sunday nights on PBS, you know, it's just got mass appeal and so many things going for it. The performances are just outstanding. Two in particular for me, the lead performance, Saoirse Ronan, but then also, you know, she's incredible. She's absolutely incredible. She carries this movie with numerous moments in this film, isolated moments that should add up to her receiving an Academy Award nomination. I think that's sort of a foregone conclusion at this point, based on what we've seen so far. But one performance that really stuck out to me that I hope does not go unnoticed as we get closer, and one that I think certainly could slip in there, is Julie Walters as the lady that runs the boarding house. Just absolutely hilarious and scene stealing work from that lady. So many great things to say about this movie, and can't recommend it highly enough to everyone, all ages. I feel like it has just universal appeal.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's the one movie this season so far that I feel like I can recommend to absolutely anybody, because this is the season, too, where a lot of people who don't normally go to the movies finally have a free day, and they have time with their families, and they say, you know what, let's all go see a movie together. And I think Brooklyn would be the number one choice that I would at least suggest to people. And sadly, it already left my town, Tuscaloosa, and only played here for about 3 weeks. So I caught it the day before it left, because I knew I wouldn't have another chance unless I flew up to where you are, up in New York. So I was really glad I did that. And yeah, you know, in terms of just like the universal appeal that it has, the story is just so, I'm sure it's relatable for a lot of people. And, you know, it offers a nice little history lesson in terms of the period detail that I mentioned, and what people like this character, Elish, who immigrate, you know, from foreign countries into, you know, this foreign country from their point of view, and you know, to Brooklyn, New York. Like, it's a great movie about America and sort of realizing the American dream, and how that was possible back then, how it may or may not be possible now in the same way for a lot of people. It's got a lot of, you know, one of the major themes, obviously, is family, too, the importance of strong family values and the bonds that you have, and sort of the not debts that you need to pay necessarily, but the I guess, dependence that you have on your family members, and how you have to be there for them in this case when tragedy strikes, and the decisions that you have to make. And I found that stuff really compelling, and like you said, delivered through the eyes of a character like this one, which what made this so refreshing to me is, you know, I guess you could call Saoirse Ronan's character a hero. You know, I'm not sure that people would necessarily describe her that way, but she is obviously the protagonist of this movie, and regardless of whether or not she fits the heroic bill by definition, she is a character that you just root for from beginning to end, and you just want good things for her, because again, she has strong values, and she just comes across as a good person who's trying to make a life for herself, and someone who obviously falls in love. She meets this character, Tony, played by Emery Cohen, who I think is an interesting, very interesting young actor to keep an eye on. He's really good in this movie, I think. And that's the main thing I love about this, is that it's such a fleshed out, just three-dimensional character with whom the audience can just very easily identify, and you just want good things for her. And thanks to Crowley and everybody involved in telling the story, they really execute her story rather beautifully, and they deliver in terms of pleasing the crowd. And I think that to call this a crowd pleaser might, you know, I think that's probably the best descriptor for it.
You call this character heroic, and I agree with that, because she's tested so much. She's, you know, sort of bucks the trend of what women were doing in the 50s by leaving Ireland for New York without any money and, you know, very limited prospects. And she, you know, basically is crippled by homesickness. And homesickness is captured so well in this movie. And it's something that, you know, I've definitely experienced. You know, I've left Alabama twice to go to big cities that were far away. And, you know, you've left Tuscaloosa to go to New Orleans. I'm sure you've helped our sister left Alabama to go to New York, and it's a difficult thing to do, you know, especially when you don't have a large group of people there that you know, and you're sort of alone. And I certainly, the first time I left home, you know, I went into it. I was like, after about 5 months, I was like, I can't do this. I have to go back. So they capture just that pain of it, you know, being so far removed from home so well. And again, it's, I really relate to this because we live in the era of cell phones and, you know, instant texting and social media. So like things are completely different now. You know, back then you had to wait for weeks for your letter to be delivered across the ocean. But there was one specific moment where Saoirse Ronan is reading the first letter that she's gotten from Ireland since she arrived in New York, and sort of the release of the pain and heartbreak that she experiences once she finally has contact, you know, with somebody back home, and you see that in her face, and it's one of my favorite moments of her performance. And so that aspect of it is one of the most powerful for me. And everything you mentioned about family, absolutely, you know, the relationship between her sister and her mother, you know, that's a huge aspect of it. Just across the board, it's just emotionally movie. And the thing about this girl is tested so much, but not only by her homesickness, but by trying to thrive in such a competitive place where there are a lot of people that aren't there to help you. They want to kind of tear you down. You know, she's tested in other ways. I won't reveal them all. You need to see this movie to see how the story unfolds. I wouldn't want to spoil anything. But, you know, at times she's tested so much that you start to wonder if she's going to, you know, pass and if she's going to do the right thing and remain heroic. And so that, you know, definitely carries the story along for me is waiting to see how this person is going to adapt when really tested in the world at this time.
Yeah, and you know, without giving too much away and keeping this from being an all-out spoiler review, I mean, when you really break it down, I mean, this is a romance movie, and the romance that she starts with this Tony character, whom she meets, you know, shortly after she's arrived in New York and started working and creating a life for herself. It's just a relationship that, again, you really root for. He's a likable person, and you feel good for her, and you want that story to just sort of blossom in the way that it does, but obviously there's something that lures her back to Ireland or really sort of obligates her to go back home, and that sets up one of those challenges that you're talking about, and it's a really interesting moment for the character, obviously, and quite the conundrum. But again, I mean, I think it forces people to ask themselves, you know, what would I do in this situation? As simple as it seems, I mean, once it happens to you, it's very complicated, and family is complicated. These relationships are very complicated, but it's, like I said, it's just told in a very beautiful way, and it tests the character in all the right ways. And what I appreciated is, again, it's a character with really strong values who makes the right, like you said, you hope she makes the right decision. I personally never really expected her to do anything else just based on, you know, what we knew about her up to that point. But a wrench is kind of thrown into the plans, and it makes it a little bit more unpredictable, and you don't really know what's going to happen. So there is an element of suspense to it, to be sure. But, you know, again, like you mentioned the performances, and she's great, and you mentioned Julia Walters is great. I mentioned Emery Cohn. There's a small but fun part with Jim Broadbent, who, yeah, you know, we don't see enough of, I think, right now. He's a really talented actor who's good in this movie as the priest who sponsors her and brings her to New York. And they're one of my favorite sequences in the movie. You mentioned, like, how emotionally invested you get in this movie, and really how early on into it you get invested. And one of the great scenes is before she's even met the Tony character, and she is living with the boarding house women and the woman you mentioned before, she volunteers to serve homeless Irishmen who, yeah, live in New York, who, you know, according to the Broadbent character, you know, have really put a lot of their blood, sweat, and tears into the city and have lived in New York for, you know, upwards of 50 years. And she just sees what kind of presence her country has in, yeah, this new country that she lives in. And there's a piece of music that is used diegetically in that sequence mm-hmm. that is really gorgeous and it's such a great character building moment for yep. her character and is really beautifully shot and edited. And it was really like at that point, I really bought into the character and like really was just like, okay, let's go. Whatever she does, I'm in. And this is the story and character that I've really latched on to and I really want to root for.
Yeah, that really was a beautiful scene. And your use of the word diegetically would make Jeremy Butler proud. So kudos for that.
Yeah,
you've won this podcast.
Yeah.
But that absolutely, and you mentioned that it was shot beautifully. That I saw that this was shot by the same cinematographer, the director Jean-Marc Vallée has used in his last two movies, Dallas Buyers Club and Wild. So absolutely, it's beautiful, and the costumes and period based set design are awesome. There's an awesome scene when they're in Coney Island. That is just, you know, they just totally nailed the time period. At first when, you know, this speaks to my sort of ignorance, I guess, but at the very beginning of the movie, when it starts off in Ireland, I saw it with Meg, my girlfriend, she asked me, what time period does this take place in? And I said, I'd seen some cars and I go, the 30s? Because there's no like title screen that says what year it is. And I'm like, the 30s? And then finally, when she gets to New York, somebody references that they had just seen The Quiet Man that
yeah.
night. And I lean over to Meg and I go, 1951. Because I remember, coincidentally, Jeremy Butler's class where I first saw The Quiet Man.
Okay.
And then their head and it says 1951. And I'm like, yes! Nailed it. So, you know, speaking of movies that take place in New York in the early 50s that are out for awards consideration, I saw Carol last week. And it's also got excellent period design and detail. This one will, you know, is definitely a little bit more of a crowd pleaser than that film, and you know, which is pretty dark. But I'm not saying it has a sad or happy ending. But you're going to leave this film feeling good. I think it was a fantastic experience, and I would have it again in a heartbeat.
Yeah, and take your significant other, go with your parents to see this
yeah.
because it's one that everybody's going to love. If it's playing near you during the holidays and you have that spare time and you want to see it, this to me is the logical choice.
Yeah.
And you know, it's fun just discovering little stories like these. And you and I, we talked about this a little bit. Like, we're big fans of the movie Angela's Ashes, which is, you know, obviously similarly an Irish story, you know, about characters who perhaps face similar circumstances, you know, to an extent, I guess, that's less a story of immigration, you know, unlike this, but it's something that, you know, is close to us just in that, you know, our name is Flanagan. We're not hiding our Irishness, you know, from anybody. So we have an interest in terms of geographically where these people come from. And I love
yep.
seeing the story set where, you know, starting out in Ireland and going back and seeing that countryside and the character sort of relearning just how beautiful her home country is
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
when she goes back, when she, you know, compares the Coney Island beach that you mentioned to the beach in her hometown and,
yeah.
you know, just noting that there are way less people, you know, and I love the line from the young actor Gleason, you know, in this where he was like, well, you know, there'll be some people walking on the beach a little later.
Yeah.
And she just kind of looks at him like, bro, you have no idea, you know,
right.
what it's like on Coney Island. So I thought that was a really nice moment. But, yeah, you know, I just, like I said, I mean, I keep going back to this. Like, I hope more people see this movie because you mentioned before about sort of like the cynical nature of movies this time of year and what these awards voters might vote for. Especially, you know, you think of movies like, you know, the one you mentioned, Birdman, and you know, films that win these days like No Country for Old Men, which have
mm-hmm,
you
mm-hmm.
know, a very sort of cynical and pessimistic view of the world, and that's just not the case here. This reminds you, you know, how beautiful the world is and how, you know, good people are and can be, and it's just nice this time of
yeah.
year when certain things are happening in the world to see a movie like this that reassures you about humanity. And
yep.
and I think that it's a really powerful movie in that respect. And it's all rooted in the power of the character.
Yeah, this is the perfect Christmas movie. If this is playing at a theater in town, it sucks that it left Tuscaloosa. That's really a shame. But if it's playing near you, like, this would be a perfect family Christmas movie. You know, a better choice than some of the past choices in our family that we've made, like Wolf of Wall Street and Sudden Death. But you mentioned Angela's Ashes. And I also, you know, like you mentioned, I love that movie. It's powerful. These are sort of very different stories of moving from Ireland to America. You know, like in this film, Eilish is from sort of an upper middle class family. Her mother is widowed for sure, but her sister's like a champion golfer, and you know, she definitely is in a different place in society, and sort of. She has all of her prospects lined up. She moves to a nice little brownstone boarding house in Brooklyn, whereas in Angela's Ashes, these people were just in abject poverty. really different. But there is a similarity in that you can see both movies in that. There's a classic scene in Angela's Ashes where the little boy, Frank, tells his mom that the twins' asses are shitty. And in this... There's a shitty ass in this movie, too.
For more from the Film Nerds, go to filmnerds.com and aspectradioshow.com.